So we've been reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita about the story of Gauranga accepting the service of his godbrother Govinda, and there's lots of statements here to explain this point. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining how much he's accepted Govinda, although generally one doesn't want to take service from his godbrother. He wants to render service. We address each other as Prabhu, oh Prabhu. And Prabhupada makes one joke. He's speaking with Gurudas in one room conversation. And Prabhupada says, do you understand the meaning of the word Prabhu? And there's no response. And then Prabhupada said, Prabhu doesn't mean, oh Prabhu, oh, probably his name. He said, Prabhu doesn't mean, oh, Gurudas Prabhu, come, take my shoes. Pick up my shoes, carry my shoes. Gurudas Prabhu, carry my shoes. We say, Gurudas Prabhu. Oh, Prabhu, come serve me. So this is not the meaning of Prabhu. Prabhu means, Prabhu, you are my master. Prabhu means master, you are my master. How can I serve you? What can I do to please you? Oh, Krishnadas Prabhu, how may I serve you? Can I do something for you? Can I render some service or help you in some way? This is the meaning why we address each other as Prabhu. At least the men. Women, I don't know, they say Didi or older sister or whatever they say. But Prabhu is a masculine word for men to men. So he's Prabhupada, the Supreme Mahaprabhu, is saying that he's accepting because it was his guru's wish, Ishwarpuri's wish, for Govinda Das, his godbrother, and for Gauranga, that this arrangement would be honored. So Lord Chaitanya accepted. This is Guru Agya. Although it is not my wish, not my desire, I would rather serve Govinda, but our guru has ordered my godbrother to come and serve me in Puri. So I have to accept that. Like, for example, sometimes the guru or the sannyasi, he may serve prasadam. It's especially prevalent in some, in the Gaudiya Math, this seems to be their standard, was established by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, that the older devotees, the senior devotees, they should serve prasadam. It's called prasad seva. It is a great privilege to distribute the Bhagavat prasad, the Krishna phala, the remnants, the Krishna's saliva, the remnants of Krishna's holy sanctified food. One should earn the privilege to distribute this food. And one earns the privilege by advancing in devotion. At least, this is their understanding. So the senior sannyasis and senior Brahmins in the Mat, Brahmacharis, they were chosen. They considered, boy, I'm so fortunate. Gurudev has selected me to distribute the prasadam at the program or the feast. And so we can understand what a high and exalted service it is. Like sometimes people come and they say, oh, I'll, Maharaj, I'll distribute the prasad, some new person. We say, no, you'll sit down. I'll distribute the prasad. Because this is our actual tradition. And where does this tradition start? It starts with God Himself. The tradition of the most advanced spiritual person distributing prasad to the bhaktas begins with God Himself. Who is that? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would personally distribute the Mahaprasad, Jagannath Mahaprasad, to the devotees. When they had the Kaittiriya Mahotsav festival, 50 years after the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya, Narottam Das Thakur was there, and Srinivas, and Shamananda, and all the great devotees who were remaining still. And Janava Mata was there, and Kaittiriya. Kaittiriya Gram is the ancestral birthplace of Narottam, actually. Narottam Das Thakur was the only son of a king. And he returned there and held a very big festival, Utsav, Vaishnav Utsav, installed six sets of deities also at that time. And Janamata came and personally cooked, Lord Nityananda's wife. She cooked all the food for all the prasad, for all the devotees. And then afterwards, who served out the prasadam? Bhakta Joe, Bhakta Jane, or Bhaktin Jane, or Bhakta Joe, or maybe they called in a rickshaw wala from the street with his dirty socks to walk around and serve the prasadam. No. Janava Mata, the Shakti of of Nityananda, she served the prasadam. Narottam Das Thakur served the prasadam. These were the personalities serving the prasadam. So for Lord Chaitanya to accept the service of Govinda was quite a big, you can say, effort for him, because he was so reluctant. But then he says, all right, because he's saying this here in this verse 142 from chapter 10, Madhilila, Prabhukai. Of course, Mahaprabhu embraced Govinda, and Govinda in turn offered his respectful obeisances. And I don't know if this is the right place. I think it is. Prabhukai Padacharya Kara Vichar Guru Kinkar Haya Manye Se Amar. Mahaprabhu was speaking to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Please, Sarvabhauma, consider this point. Manya Vichar. The servant of the spiritual master is always respectable for me. So that means my Guru Bhai, my Guru, the servants of the spiritual master are his disciples. So he's saying that Guru Kinkar, like we say Kinkri, Ayananda Tanasha Kinkar, Guru Kinkar, he's worshipable, he's respectable. I must respect him. How can I accept service? Then he says, Tanhare Apana Seva Kareti Nadrijai Guru Agya Diachena Ki Kari Upai. As such, it is not befitting that the guru's servant should engage in my personal service. Yet, my spiritual master has given this order. What shall I do? So he's apparently, Lord Chaitanya, although he's accepting it, he's having some discussion with the senior learned Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and saying, look at the situation I'm in. My godbrother has come under the order of our guru to serve me, but yet my inclination is quite the opposite. I want to serve him, and he's the Guru Kinkar. He's the humble servant of the guru. He's respectable to me. My godbrother is most respectable by me. It's not, hey, Prabhu, serve me. He's most respectable to me, by me, or to be respected by me. So what should I do? I'm somewhat perplexed. Because my spiritual master, on one side, I have this mood and this attitude of humility that I don't want to accept service from anyone. And I should respect, rather, my godbrother. But on the other side, my guru is ordering what to do. In Prabhupada's purport, a guru's servants or disciples are all godbrothers to one another. And as such, they should respect one another as Prabhu or master. No one should disrespect his god brother. For this reason, Mahaprabhu asked Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya what to do about Govinda. Govinda was a personal servant. He was not only a god brother, but he was a personal servant of Ishwar Puri. So that, in one sense, that means he was very intimate, very confidential, and very close to the guru. Because there's, as I said, everywhere there's hierarchy. So there's some distant servants of the guru, some close servants of the guru. All are disciples. All are initiated. All have received mantra. But some are other due to good karma or good sukriti or God's arrangement or guru's choice. Some disciples are very close to the guru and very intimate with the guru and accepted in very personal, confidential service. So if we are not that chosen one, or that fortunate one, but we are a god brother, god sister, then we should offer so much regard and respect to that quote-unquote lucky one. I remember when I joined, I was just one of thousands at that time, and I had so much regard for the seniors because they had so much intimate association. I thought, they're more fortunate than me. They have so much intimacy with Prabhupada, so much personal service. Prabhupada's serving them chapatis, cooking for them, rubbing their head, this, that, so many personal exchanges. So they're more advanced, they're more fortunate. So I was always I'm also godbrother. Okay, I'm godbrother, but not of the same rank. So I had to be humble and so much respectful to them. So Lord Chaitanya is thinking, me, I took initiation from Ishwar Puri, then I left. I'm not a very intimate disciple. He's God, of course, we know. Everyone knows who Lord Chaitanya is. But this is his mood. I didn't render personal service to Ishwar Puri. I took initiation and I was there a few hours and I was gone. I was in Gaya doing the pin ceremony for my father at the lotus feet of Gadadhara Vishnu, doing the puja. In Gaya, then I got initiation, I returned with the 10-syllable Gopal Krishna mantra. But Ishwarpuri has been living, Govinda Das has been living day after day after day serving my Guru Maharaj. How special he is. Just like we have our Shruti Kirti. And we have our Hari Sauri. These are our God brothers. But how much famous they are and how much appreciated they are and how much everyone regards them because they were so close with Srila Prabhupada. Personal cook, servant, secretary, etc., whatever they were doing for several years. And they have so many wonderful anecdotes and they're so much appreciated, their association. Or someone, if I walk in somewhere, oh, you, you're nobody, you're just one of the number 3,920 or whatever it is. whatever it is, some number like that. But when they come somewhere, everyone's, oh, Shruti Kirti's come. Everyone's very excited. They're going to hear so many Prabhupada stories and they get the red carpet treatment and because they're special people. So that has to be accepted and respected. No, I'm just, I'm a nobody. What to do? Better luck next life. So Lord Chaitanya is thinking, but my spiritual master. So Prabhupada is saying, Govinda was a personal servant of Ishwarpuri. And now Ishwarpuri had ordered Govinda to become Mahaprabhu's personal servant. So what was to be done? This was the inquiry Mahaprabhu placed before Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya as an experienced friend. Because you have to understand, Sarvabhauma is about 80 years old, so certainly has experience, and he's an acharya with thousands and thousands of disciples. And Lord Chaitanya is a young sannyasi. So he's posing, this is a posture, this is a Leela between Sarvabhauma and Mahaprabhu. He's just posing like this, just like in Krishna Leela. Krishna was posing as somewhat dumbfounded or confused, so he would confide in Uddhava and ask Uddhava's opinion or idea. Should I go to Hastinapura? Should I stay in Dwarka? What do you think I should do? So his God is asking the opinion of his devotee, Uddhava. That's in the Bhagavatam. So here again, God, in the mood of a devotee this time, is asking the opinion of a more senior personality. This is the Vaishnavata, or Vaishnav Achar. Always under the senior, always regarding the senior, always respecting the senior, always inquiring humbly from the senior, can you guide me? Can you advise me? He's not thinking, oh, well, I don't have to ask anybody anything. Don't I know everything? Aren't I God? I mean, actually, I'm Brahman initiated, aren't I? I am a Brahmin. Or I'm a sannyasi. He's a Mishra. He got his Brahmin initiation at 8 years old. During his Mishra, he got his Upanayanam, 8 years old. I'm a Brahmin, high-class Brahmin Mishra, and I've taken sannyas. I know everything. Why should I ask anybody? I don't need anybody's advice. Hey, be quiet. I do my thing. How much humility he's showing. How much anugatya, how much he's underneath the parampara, how much he's respecting his seniors, taking their advice, taking advantage of their experience. But in this age of Kali, everybody's God, everybody's guru, and everybody's the authority. So we don't have to ask anybody about anything, because we know everything. This is a general mood. I'm not, making fun or criticizing. I'm just saying this is the kind of mentality I have, you have, we all have. And Kali Yuga is like, hey, I know everything. Besides, I have internet. What I don't know, I have it in my fingertips. I just open Google and say, what to do? What to do now? And then Google says, do this. I said, okay. And I do it. So my guru is Google. Sri Shrimad, Ashtatar Satar Sri Shrimad, Google Maharaj Ki. So Google is doing the Google. At any rate, so Lord Chaitanya, so many lessons are being learned here, but because of time is less, I'm kind of skimming the surface. But every verse, as we know, Prabhupada told us, every verse of Shastra can be seen from so many angles of vision and understood according to our own adhikar and vision. So this is such a beautiful dialogue and interaction here, Vaishnava behavior, seniors and juniors, and guru and disciple, and guru's agya. Many, many points are being discussed here, which are lila for itself and by itself, but they're so much applicable as shiksha and instruction and teachings to all of us, because we also are disciples, and we also have guru, and we also have godbrothers, and we also have seniors and juniors. So all these etiquettes and these lines of action and these lines of thought and these responses and these heartfelt feelings are all very important for us to imbibe and to understand and to express in our own dealings with Guru, with Vaishnavas, and within ourselves. What was to be done? Prabhupada says, Bhatta kahe guru agya haya balavan, guru agya narlangiya shastra praman. So now the response from the senior and respected friend of Lord Chaitanya, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, says, the order of the spiritual master is very strong and cannot be disobeyed. The order of the spiritual master is very strong and cannot be disobeyed. That is the injunction of the Shastras, the revealed scriptures. Guru Agya Haya Balavan. Everyone, this is quite obvious. Guru Agya, the order of Guru is Balavan. It possesses lots of strength. Guru Agya Na Langiya Shastra Praman. The Praman, the evidence, the fact, the injunction of the Shastra. Shastra Praman is that Langiya, this is some Bengali word, probably don't know. Langiya, Langiya means here, disobey. The order of the Guru, the Shastras are emphatically proclaiming that we cannot disobey the order of the Guru. Why? Because that order is very powerful. So of course, this is, you could say this, you could cite this, because someone might say, can you give me any scriptural reference or praman for this following statement? You told me, temple commander, that in the order of the guru is all the power to execute it. Has anyone ever heard this statement? Mostly disciples, they will hear. They're given some instruction or some command or some order from the guru. You go to France and open a temple. So that's the order. The order is you go to France, you leave New York, you go to France and open a temple. So now you might think, oh, this, that. So much hesitation, doubt, fear, etc. But then it's told, oh, don't worry, in the order of the guru is the ability, is the strength and ability to carry it out. I think most senior devotees have heard this principle. It's a principle. So then you may challenge that principle by saying, Where can you give me any shastric backing for that? That in the order of the guru is all the power. Whether you can cite this Mandi Lila chapter 10, verse 144. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, Guru Agya Balavan. This is the power. Bala means strength, van means possessing. So the Guru Agya possesses power. The Guru's order is very powerful. And the translation that Srila Prabhupada gives to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's statement in response to Lord Chaitanya's dilemma about accepting service from his guru, I mean from his godbrother, although it is the order of his guru. And Sarvabhauma says, the order of the spiritual master is very strong, Balavan, like Balaram. Balaram, is he strong or very strong? He's very strong. So the order of guru is very strong. And then Sarvabhauma quotes another verse. First he says that's his statement. Listen, you're my friend. And you're my, in one sense, like my student, but you're my friend and you're my teacher because you've converted me to this Gaudiya Vaishnavism, Mahaprabhu. But you're posing as friend, inquisitive friend, seeking my guidance. So I'm telling you straight in Bengali, listen, my friend, you know the Guru's order is very strong and cannot be, this the Shastras are telling, Shastra Praman, the Shastras are saying you cannot disobey this. So then your next question, if you're Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you'll say, what Shastra? Isn't it? If you had a dialogue. If I say, oh, you know, the Shastras say you should not disobey the order. And you'll say, what? Where? Where in Shastra? So then, as a proper preacher, to give a convincing argument, to give the convincing argument to the inquirer, who is Mahaprabhu, who is asking the question, first he says his own statement. Actually, the Shastras are saying that you can never disobey the order of the Guru. It's very powerful. Then you might say, okay, you said that, I accept that, but can you give me any Shastric reference? And Sarvabhauma says, yes. And then he speaks the next verse, which is a standard throughout the Shastras, actually. This is from Raghuvamsha. This is a statement where Ramachandra, this is a statement by Bhagavan Ramachandra to Sita Devi. It's from the Ramayana, Ayodhya Kanda 22.9. This is what Ram said to Sita. And this is the Praman, Shastra Praman, because he said previously in his own language, in Bengali, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya spoke to Mahaprabhu by saying, Sarva Agya Nalagya Shastra Praman, the evidence of Shastra. What Shastra? Ramayan. What statement? Ram to Sita. Now Sarvabhauma repeats that shloka. Ashushavan Matri Bhargavenha Pitor Niyogat Praritam Dvishadvat Pradyagrihid Agraja Shashanam Tad Agyagrunam Yavicharaniya. Ram said, Bhagavan Ramachandra said to Sita, Sita, being ordered by his father, Parasaram killed his mother, Renuka, just as if she were an enemy. This is a quotation from Raghuvamsa, which is some scripture which is describing something about Ram Leela also, in Parasaram Leela. Sarvabhauma said, being ordered by his father, who is the father of Parasaram?
Jamadagni.
Jamadagni, thank you. Jamadagni told Parasaram, kill your mother. So he did. He killed his mother as if she were an enemy. When Lakshman, the younger brother of Ram, heard this, he immediately engaged himself in the service of his elder brother and accepted his orders. The order of the spiritual master must be obeyed without consideration. So this is the praman that he gave. Then the next thing is there. Prabhupada then says next verse. The next verse is from Ramayana, and this is also spoken by Sarvabhauma. Nirvicharam guru agya maya karya mahatmanah shreyo yevam bhavatyascha mama cheva visheshata. The order of a great personality, like a father, must be executed without consideration, because there is good fortune in such an order for both of us. In particular, there is good fortune for me. So obviously, this is all about the time when Ram was being banished from Ayodhya due to his stepmother, was it Kaikeyi?
Yeah.
Kaikeyi had invoked some blessing she received from Dasharath to fulfill her wish, and so she wanted her son, I believe Bharat, to be the king instead of Ram, who was the son of Kaushalya. Thank you, Kaushalya. So she said that, and then she said, "I want your son." To Ram to be banished to the forest for 14 years. That's my wish. So of course he was. And now he's telling the Sita, well, sorry Sita, you're not the queen anymore. You were the queen for a few minutes. Now we have to go to the forest for 14 years. And she says, why, how, what? And he said, the order of my father must be executed, because there is good fortune in carrying out such order for both of us. In particular, there's good fortune for me, because it's my father, and he told me. Because he even told Sita, you can stay. You stay here. You don't have to go. He didn't order you, he ordered me. And of course, you know, she went. So this is what Sarvabhauma was saying as a reply to convince Lord Chaitanya about what he should do, that this is your guru's order. Ishwarpuri is given the order to accept service from your godbrother, Govindadas. So that's an order to you. And this order is very, very strong. You can never disobey it. And look at Ram. In the previous yuga, in Treta Yuga, he got a stern order from his guru. The father is also guru in the family. Guru and Shishyat, Pitaro and Shishyat. So his father, the guru, Dasharath, the father guru, gave an order to go to the forest. And so he accepted it. And then he even made the statement that there's good fortune. So similarly, Lord Chaitanya, you should also accept the order of your guru. Then all good fortune will be yours, like Ram is saying. And this should be accepted without consideration. Tabe Mahaprabhu Tanri Kaila Angikar Apana Shiyanga Sevai Dila Adikar. After Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said this, Mahaprabhu embraced Govinda and engaged him in the service of his personal body. Shiyanga Seva. That's very nice. Shriyanga Seva. Apana Shriyanga Sevaya Dila Adhikar. He gave him the responsibility. The personal Shriyanga Apan Sri Anga, the transcendental body, seva, his service, Dila gave adhikara. He gave the eligibility. He gave the eligibility to serve him. He gave the responsibility, the Govinda, to serve the Sri Anga seva. Mahabhu Angikara, that means the acceptance. So it's interesting the term that Krishna's Kaviraj is using, Sri Anga Seva. Because Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Srimati Radharani and Krishna combined. Sri, Srimati Radharani, Krishna, Krishna, Chaitanya. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Govinda Das is serving the body of Sri, it's very interesting. Govinda is serving Sri Anga. So Govinda is serving the body of Srimati Radharani. Because the body of Mahaprabhu is also the body of Krishna. And the body of Mahaprabhu is also the body of Sri, Srimati Radharani. So Govinda Das is very fortunate because he's able to serve both the body of Radharani and the body of Krishna. But the term is used as Sri Anga Seva. He could have just said Anga Seva or Prabhu Anga. He could have said Prabhu Anga Seva. That's fully proper. He says Sri Anga. So maybe Krishna's Kaviraj, who of course is the intimate servant of Radharani herself in his Manjri form, or her Manjri form, Kasturi Manjri. Krishna's Kaviraj's Siddhadeya in the spiritual world is Kasturi. Kasturi means musk. Kasturi Manjri, one of the Asta Manjris of Radharani. So he may be seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Radharani. So he's writing Sri Anga Sevaya. This is my idea, because there's no purport here. Prabhupada Priya Brityakari Sabakariman Sakala Vaishnavera Govindakari Samadhan. Everyone respected Govinda as the dearest servant of Mahaprabhu, and Govinda served all the Vaishnavas and saw to their needs. So this is the conclusion of the story of Lord Chaitanya, or Gauranga accepting this service from Govinda. There's many nice points here about interactions and behavior amongst God brothers, or it can be also applied God sisters. And we see also the beautiful heart of the Lord, how much love there is and how much submission he's showing, submission to his guru's agya. He's not fighting. He's receiving an order from his guru. His God brother comes to Puri with an order from Ishwara Puri to accept him in his service. So he's initially somewhat reluctant, although obviously he's ready. He knows he has no choice but to accept the order, the Guru Agya, but he has some hesitation. His heart feels hesitant because of his own feelings of humility and reluctance as a sannyasi, especially, and also as a Vaishnava, reluctance to accept the service of anyone. So then he confides, he reveals his mind. Guyam akyati prichati. In Nectar Instruction, he reveals his mind confidentially, not to any Tom, Dick, and Harry, but he reveals his mind confidentially to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, whom he respects. He's elder, he's respected, and he's a friend. So it's called Sajatiya Snigdha. He's the same family because now he's converted to Gaudiya Vaishnavism, and he's affectionate, snigdha, sneha. And he's elder and he's experienced. He's a proper man to reveal the mind to, or rather devotee. So he says, my heart is feeling some hesitation. I know it's the order of my guru and I will accept it and I want to accept it, but can you give me some encouragement in this direction? Can you get me over this? Can you help me overcome my hesitation? And with a clear heart and a clear mind, can you help me accept this order from my guru? So he does, by citing Shastra and encouraging. Yes, it's the right thing. It's the right thing to do. Accept the order. Don't worry. Accept the service, and this will benefit you, and will benefit Govinda Das, and your guru will be happy. This is the Krishna conscious response and proper behavior. So we can, when we face some dilemma in our own devotional practices or behaviors, we can seek the help of more advanced devotees and get the proper line of action from them based on Shastra, and take many, many good instructions from this nice teaching from this chapter 10 of Madhya Lila. Gauranga accepts service from his godbrother Govinda. So is there any questions on this particular point?
Geet Nagar Prabhu? I was going to ask questions about the...
Well, I guess, yeah, there's a nice question. You're saying there's so many do's and don'ts, and I'm afraid if I just look the wrong way, I'll go to hell or something, or I put my left foot in. Even there's rules that aren't mentioned here, but when one enters a temple of the Lord, he should enter with his right foot first. Usually we don't even know where our feet are going, and we're just trying to get in the temple somehow or other. So to be conscious of all these rules, you become like neurotic. You go crazy. But I guess the golden rule is to move sincerely. The golden rule is to move sincerely and humbly under the shelter of Guru. So if our Guru, he says, now I've given you Brahman initiation, we need you to do some puja work, and we'd like you to go on the altar and do this such and such seva. And then you say, Guruji, I have some vague notion, there's all kinds of rules and this and that, and mudras and all these achmans, and I don't know if I can digest all those things. And it's a little bit too much for me to handle, and I have some hesitation and fear. And then if he says, I know there's lots of rules and regulations, but this is an emergency, or don't worry about it. If anything goes wrong, I'll handle it. I'll pay the bill. It's my wish, again, Guru Agya Balavan, it's my wish that you do puja and just do the best you can. And as you do the service, you'll find out the different things. Gradually you'll learn the rules and ways or whatever it say. You'll gradually learn the rules of the game. And I have faith in you, and I have trust in you and confidence. And on my order, with my blessings, you go forward and do the service. Don't worry about this, just you do the service best you can. And if you have any questions, I'll try to help you, or the Hebhajari will also help you. And you can read some books. It's like this. But many times, the Guru will engage us in service. It's way over our heads. And many times, the Guru will give us service. It's over our heads, or it's more difficult. It's some great difficulty for us. But he's there behind us. His order is behind us. We're not just jumping on the altar like a bull running in there. We're going in there on his order. So if he orders us, then we can feel secure in that order, that there's some protection there. There's protection in the Guru's order. There's some security blanket. We're covered. Oh, I stepped over the ground. Oh my God, I passed the mirror. Poof. Oh my God. Then the heavens are, hey, you stupid, you're not supposed to pass. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know, I didn't, you know, the Sunday feast was, you know, too good, you know. You know, so it's like a child. It's like a child, the innocence, a child. A child is forgiven because of his age and his innocence. So when we're doing something, that's why I said sincerity is there, sincerity of purpose and mood of surrender and trying our best. We're actually, this is the proof of sincerity. We're trying to do it right. And then that sincerity will also be shown in that we study and try to learn these rules and regulations. And then if we do, we say, well, Guruji, I'm doing this puja, and then while I'm doing this puja, I read some books about it, and boy, I've been really making a lot of mistakes, making a lot of offenses, like this, this, and this, and this, and that. And then you get his response. Yeah, anyway, don't worry about all that stuff. Just do the arti, get the job done somehow, and you know, this is a preaching mission. This is a preaching mission, and we have to do whatever we can. We don't have time to sit around and touch our ear and nose and chant all these mantras and do nyas and all this stuff. So basically everything has to be sanctioned, as we say, Guru Agya Balavan. That word Balavan is very significant. The security blanket is there, the protection is there. Because it's between, I mean, okay, Guruji, you're engaging me in this service, but listen, I'll do my best. But if I fall on my face and, you know, do something crazy, it's on you. No, it's between you and Krishna. You say, look, yes, I'll take care of it. It's between me and Krishna. You're going as my representative. I'll take full responsibility. And in fact, that's the point. And even the Shastras, it talks about how much responsibility the Guru has for the disciples and how much of the karma and the misdeeds he takes on his head. It's so much described there in Padma Puran. So it is a fact that the Guru is very much responsible for the disciple, especially in the specific service he's ordained. So I think it's It's not a question of fools rush in where angels dare not in this case. We are definitely foolish and uneducated and ignorant about so many things. But if our guru is giving us the order, then he's giving us the wings. His order is the wings. Wings means angel. So fools rush in where angels dare not. Well, now we're an angel and we're flying in there on guru's order. He's given us the wings to do the service. So now we're not a fool, we're an angel. And we're daring to go in there. It's daring, and we're a little bit afraid. But he's ordering us. Okay, I can't promise you what's going to happen when I go in there. I don't know. Krishna may leave. When I start cooking, like sometimes I've seen, they said, look, it's emergency. You have to cook for the deities. But Guruji, I don't know how to boil water. Well, that's all right. You learn on the job training. Necessity is a mother of invention. You learn to do it somehow or other. Just put something together. So then you go there and you do your best, and then you bring all the burned offerings to Guruji. He says, can you bring me some Mahaprasad? Well, I can, but I'm a little... Anyway, bring it. Oh my God, listen, this is not the way to do it. Then the Guru will take in the kitchen and say, look, make it like this. So one way or the other, the Guru prepares the disciple to undertake a particular service by training, or he empowers the disciple to undergo a particular service from within the heart, or he makes arrangements externally through other seniors to guide one. But the main thing is to have faith in the Guru's order and to execute it. If we have, like for example, if we have all these hesitations and fears to do deity worship, and someone outside of our Guru says, oh, you want to help in the deity room? Oh, that's okay, Hare Bol, Hare Krishna. I'm a little scared. But when a Guru's order is there, then there shouldn't be any fear. This is the main point. Well, we have an expression in English, it's easier to get forgiven than it is to get permission. So jump in and get forgiven, that's easier. But Krishna, I really made a lot of mistakes. That is sincerity again. Sincerity means, okay, I don't want to make mistakes. What does sincerity mean? Okay, I'll try. This is my guru's order. Okay, I'll try to do this, whatever service. I'll try my best. And then if I perform or try to perform that service and I commit some mistakes, sincerity means, I feel bad. I feel sorry. I feel bad I made these mistakes, and I pray to Krishna that I don't make them again. So Prabhupada told Harisari, because Harisari asked, well, how many times does Krishna forgive you if you make a mistake? And Prabhupada said, if you make a mistake once, will Krishna forgive you? And Prabhupada said, yes. Well, what if you make the same mistake twice? And Prabhupada said, yes, he'll forgive you again. And Harisari said, what if you make the same mistake three times? And Prabhupada said, then you're nonsense. Then you're nonsense and Krishna will kick you out. Of course, we maybe make the same mistake 3,000 times, but Krishna is very, or 3,000 lifetimes. But Krishna is very kind and he keeps accepting us and keeps sending his guru to initiate us life after life, trying again and trying again. What do they say? Try.
First you don't succeed, try again.
At first you don't succeed, then try again. So this is what we're doing, only not in minutes, not in moments, and not in different endeavors, but it's a matter, we're talking about lifetimes here. At first you don't succeed in this life, then try again next life, and next life, and next life. Try again, and try again, and try again. Yeah, Gita Nagari is on the same question, I think. No. Now, these injunctions that are there in Shastra pertaining to deity worship, especially Shalagram, says if one eats before he does puja, if he takes his breakfast before doing puja, then he goes to hell. And many types of severe reactions one receives by being negligent or offensive in the puja of the Shalagram or any other installed deity, especially. There's a couple things out to balance here. One thing is these prohibitions or these warnings are given to actually deter the non-Vaishnava, to deter the non-devotee. Because devotion is love. A relationship between the devotee and the Lord is based on love. So the devotee is worshiping the Lord because he wants to, because of love. And maybe he also wants something, but at least he's worshiping the Lord. He's worshiping Vishnu and Krishna are the Lord of love. Bhakti is the path of love. So on the path of love, then Krishna is also receiving our love and extending his love. But this warning is there because someone says, Because there's also many things that are said in the Shastra. If someone worships Shalagram for 12 years, he gets perfection. All his desires become fulfilled. He gets wealth and power. Oh, hey, look at this. This is not... So a person who is not a lover of God and doesn't have is not actually a devotee, but he's a materialist or a sense of joy, he'll say, hey, look at the Shastras. I'll get myself a few Shilas. Let me collect a few Shilas here. And I hang out with these Shilas for 12 years and I'll be a king. I'll be wealthy, influential, powerful. No one can cross my word. And then they say, oh yeah. Then he reads on, oh, wait a minute. If someone doesn't eat breakfast before he worships a Shila, hey, I can't. Well, as soon as I get up, I have to eat. If someone eats before he worships the Shalagram, then he goes to hell. Oh, well, forget about that word. Forget about that worship. So a lot of times these injunctions are there. There's fantastic benefits and tremendous material and spiritual benefits that are gained by worshiping Krishna in any form or shape, deity or the holy name, whatever. But then there's all these repercussions or warnings that if you do it wrong, you get to go here and there and all these different hells. And that's simply to keep out the non-devotees. No trespassing. Materialist, no trespassing, not allowed. So that's just to ward off them. So now get back to the actual sincere devotee who he may have some material desires or whatever, akama kama, sarva kama, this verse is there. But he's trying to worship the deity. Then, because, as Giridhar Prabhu was saying, because there's a bondage of love between the Lord and the deity form and the worshipper, the pujari, the devotee, then this going to hell doesn't apply to him. How can the Lord send it? How can the wife send his... Or how can the mother send her son to hell? It's impossible. She'll go first. So Krishna will not send the devotee to hell who's worshipping him. Because he's a devotee and he wants to love the Lord. His actual ambition and goal is to love the Lord and serve the Lord eternally in love. But he may here and there in the course of his seva puja make some offense. Or he's sick and he has to take some medicine and he gets up early, takes some medicine, eats a biscuit. And well, he ate before he did puja. But if he didn't take that medicine, he'd have an epileptic fit. And throw the deity on the ceiling. You know, because he has epilepsy and he goes to do the puja without that medicine. Poop! And the deity, his hand goes like that. And then the deity flies across the ceiling like a home run. Across the room. So he has to take the medicine, which requires you to eat some biscuit. So that, if you eat, biscuit is food. If you eat a biscuit, as they say in India, biscuit. In India say biscuit. So he's saying, because acharyas give commentaries, which he was citing, I read also. The acharyas say, they ask a question, how is Krishna going to send his worshipper to hell? Because here it says if you violate this code in worship, then you go to hell. So how Krishna is so cruel, you're worshipping him and then you're going to go to hell, then well, the hell with his worship. The hell with his worship and the hell with his shalagram. And now you're going to start the worship. So he's not so cruel. He loves you like a father. We say God the Father. God is the Father. Krishna is the Father of all living entities. So he's very tender and caring and understanding for his children, especially his worshippers. He has a special place in the heart for his worshippers. So one doesn't have to be afraid of going to hell by doing some faux pas or some mistake in the deity room, because you're going there with a sincerity of heart and sincerity of purpose, and it's the order of the Guru. Order of Guru means Krishna. That's the other thing. When we say Guru, Guru Agya Balavan, this Balavan means Balabhadra. Balabhadra means Krishna. Means Balaram. Because Balaram is the Guru, Guru Shakti, Nityananda. So when Guru gives order, he says, come and do puja, means Krishna's giving order. Because he's only representing the will of Krishna. If the Guru says, oh, you're a very nice devotee or a disciple, now I want you to do some puja. But my Gurudev, I'll make so many mistakes. I'm not like some little skinny guy. All these pujaris are so skinny and they slide around the altar like, you know. And I'm like a big guy, you know, and I'm afraid I just move my hand this way, I'll knock off something, or, you know. You know, these pujaris are like skinny little guys and you're like a big strong, like such your type. So he may have this hesitation. But we should think, if Guru is asking, this is actually the bhakti, if Guru is asking me, Krishna is asking me. This is told. Guru is asking me, please come and do puja. Oh, and then you should think, oh, Krishna, you've chosen me to do puja. Are you ready for me? Krishna, are you sure you made the right choice here? You know, I'm not one of these, you know, these like real coordinated guys who dance around the altar and wiggle their hips. And, you know, I'm just kind of crude and gross. But, you know, you want me? And then you can think, oh, Krishna is calling me so close to him. He's calling me so close to him. He wants me to touch him and bathe him and care for him. I guess he recognizes, I guess he's not on the bodily platform. I guess Krishna's not on the bodily platform. He actually sees me for what I am. I'm an eternal loving servant. And I'm his part and parcel. And he's calling me home. He's calling me into his bedroom. He's calling me into his dining room. He's calling me into his service. Yes, you come. Your body, big, small, fat, slow, this has nothing to do with me. Everything has to do with me is your heart. And that's where your seva is coming from, the plane of the heart. Body is not, I have nothing to do with your body. I don't need anybody's body. I need your heart. Your heart seva. Heartly seva. So when Guru asks to do seva, it's Krishna's asking. So when Guru asks to do didi seva, then, boy, Krishna's really recognized me. Krishna's really recognized me. Because it even happens on this plane. It also happens on the siddha plane. On the spiritual plane, there's also something called agya. It's one of the 11 symptoms of the siddha deha. It's guru, the agya, seva agya, the order for service. So Rupa Manjari may give us a specific order for service. Lita Sakhi may give us a specific order for service. Or our Guru Sakhi, if we're in this Madhurya Ras or Manjari Bhav, our Guru Sakhi, our Guru and a Sakhi Sarup in the spiritual world or in our spiritual meditation when we're on that level of advancement, Bhav and Prem, we may say, oh my disciple, please, I'm very happy you've been making these garlands so nicely, picking these flowers in Vrindavan, giving me these flowers for Vaijayanti Mala. Then you've been giving them to me. Now I've been giving them to Nayanamani Manjari, and then she's been giving them to Rupa Manjari, offering to Radharani or whatever. But now Radharani has made an inquiry yesterday, and Nayanamanjari asked me, who's making these garlands? Who's picking these flowers? Oh, it's my disciple. It's Gita Manjari. Gita Manjari is making these beautiful garlands and giving to me. I'm just passing them up. And then Rupa Manjari says, well, Radharani wants her to come directly and do some seva. So then the Guru says, oh, Gita Manjari, my disciple, Radharani wants, I'm giving you an order. You go in Nikunj today and you put the garland on Radharani's neck. Not Rupa Manjari wants, the order is coming from above my head, I'm giving you the order. You think, and what will you think? Wow, what a lucky day for me. How fortunate I am. I've been picking these flowers for so long, stringing these garlands. Now I've received this Guru Agya. I've been chosen. Today I'll be able to go into the Nikunj and directly place this garland on Radharani's neck. So this is Guru Agya. So if we get the order from Guru, get the order from Guru to do Didi Puja or Didi Seva, so intimate, so confidential, so close, that's a very special privilege. It's a happy and joyous day for us.
In light of that, in the early days when the deities were being worshipped here in India, Prabhupada's godbrothers went to Prabhupada and complained that they don't know what they're doing, they're not acting properly, they make so many offenses, and Prabhupada said, yes, but Krishna likes the attention.
The godbrothers complained that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas and the Gaudiya Math, they saw the standard of puja that Prabhupada was doing through his disciples, and they installed deities of India, and they went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, your disciples are monkeys. They're offering the incense with their left hand, they're ringing a bell with their right hand, they're doing all kinds of upside down crazy procedures in the puja, and this is not, you should do something, you should hire us. You should hire us or my disciples to do puja. We'll do the puja for you. And Prabhupada said, yes, you see like that, but, what was it again?
Krishna likes
that. Yes, he said, you're seeing like that, but actually, I think like this, that Krishna likes all the attention. So Prabhupada didn't take that criticism very seriously. That was his Prabhupada's way, he always defended his children. No matter how much criticism came, Prabhupada loved his children, his disciples, and he would always speak on their behalf and defend them in any circumstance. Now, of course, those same temples and those same those same deities being worshipped by the generations, subsequent generations of Prabhupada's followers, they are setting the very standard of puja throughout India. The standard of puja in the Angrez Mandir has been very much copied by the temples of the Gaudiya Math, especially in Vrindavan. And anyone who lives here can, I can write down even point by point if you want to know. Yeah, and so they maybe were criticizing now, but now they come and you'll see them. They come and they take pictures and they take notes and they take so many things. The Vajaris from different temples. So Prabhupada stood by the side of his disciples and always supported them, and now they've come out with shining success and they become the standard. This kind of was the lowest, I suppose, in their viewpoint 30 years ago in terms of deity standard, and now it's kind of the highest in deity standard. I asked the head Bajari the other day, was visiting here, because I remember about 10 years ago when I was somewhat more involved over there, they would offer about 6 or 8 outfits, new outfits every year, to all the altars, which is quite a lot of money. I said, how many outfits are you offering this year, 2007, to the deities? He said, this year we'll offer 17 new outfits, which is a lot of outfits and a lot of money, which means that somehow Krishna is sending more money to do more puja. 17 is a lot. That's like probably about 50 lakhs worth of outfits or more. So standard of the opulent standard and then the regulation, everything is so good now. Anyway, tomorrow we'll have there's a new story tomorrow. We're starting, I don't know but where it goes. Brahmananda Bharati renounces his deer skin so stay tuned for that and don't be scared, we won't take away your deer skin. If you come in a deer skin tomorrow, we won't take it away, but Brahmananda Bharati, he had to renounce his deer skin. So we also have to renounce our deer skin. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. And at that moment, may we be fully Krishna conscious.